Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel O'Connor.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this Tuesday, July 11th, Amazon Prime Day edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer Israel here with Joel Elkanen and Dennis Dick. On this show today, we're talking Amazon, of course. As I mentioned, it is Amazon Prime Day, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about dry ships. We're going to talk about Pepsi. Pepsi had earnings. We're going to talk about Cabela's, Digital Ally, Costco. I know those were some of the stocks on Dennis's list. Macy's and JCPenney. Of course, we'll take your questions in the chat. As always, at 8:35, we're going to be joined by our guest. He's our regular Tuesday guest, Nick Shaheen, the author of Create Income with Option Spreads on Marketify. Joel, how are we doing this morning in the market?
You did mention it's 7-Eleven day.
Oh, that too.
Do you guys have those on the East Coast or not?
Yes, we have 7-Eleven.
Do you get free Slurpees on 7-Eleven?
Yes.
Are we going to go? Is there one downtown? Can we go get a free Slurpee?
I'm sure there's one. I don't know, but I'm sure maybe we'll go on a field trip. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
S&Ps are in the red here by 275, trading off the lows of the session, 24.21 and a quarter. Bears, you can't get too excited until we take out Monday's low at 19 and a quarter. Coming back on the upside, let's do battle at the close, 24 even, pre-market high, 27.75. Crude oil in the red here by 48 cents, under $44 at $43.92. Kind of had a winning streak and now is having a little bit of a losing streak here. You can see this with the candles on the daily chart. And then gold just inching its way towards 1200, down 340 at 1209.80. And silver firmly in the 15 handle, right in the middle, down 14 cents at 1550. Dennis, how you doing on this Tuesday morning?
Not too bad. We got a sell-off, Joel. You're calling this a big sell-off.
This is... I can't...
3 points.
Are the circuit breakers going off yet? Do we need to know our circuit breakers?
What is the catalyst for this major sell-off this morning?
Well, do you want my opinion or do you want the street's opinion?
Give me both.
I think it's all Trump. I think you had some, I mean, talking about what's going on with his sons, talking to the Russians. It seems like that's the only thing that really takes this market down is any kind of uneasiness about him. We had something really on Sunday, later in the day yesterday. He's now hiring attorneys. So I think that's a reason for the weakness. Also, you have crude a little bit in the red. Dennis, what's your reason for the market?
I'll go with your reasoning there. The Trump worries. It's the only thing that seems to really take this market down is Trump. So I'll go with that as well. But, you know, it's obviously not that big of a sell-off here this morning. So
not yet.
Let's jump into individual issues instead of focusing on the indice that's down 0.14%. Jumping over to Snap. This is the big story here of the day, at least for me. I'm just looking at this, and I wanted to short this last night. At right near the close, it started breaching 17. You know, there was even headlines going off everywhere. Snap breaches IPO price of 17. I was like, you know what? I want to short this through 17. So I go over and I'm looking, you know, with my one platform, trying to get a locate. Can't get a locate. Going over to my other platform, trying to get a locate. Can't get a locate. I was like, oh, I could try to go call a locate broker. And I'm like, I don't know. This is just getting too difficult here. And I couldn't find the locate. Couldn't find the easy locate, so I did not short the stock. Let us know, chat, if any of you guys had a locate in your system. If anybody is short, let me know. I would love to have shorted this thing last night at $17, could not find the locate. And I come in this morning to a Morgan Stanley downgrade and the stock trading at $16.27, and I am not happy about this.
This is like deja vu all over again. We know you had last week when Goldman Sachs basically took advantage of that key reversal day in Tesla, and then they came out the following day, and all they did was change their price target from 190 to 180, knowing people are stuck in the stock. Boom, and then they hit it, and then left hops on the bandwagon. to me, you know, Morgan, I'm not saying anything about their positions or anybody with positions within the company, but that was a layup. I mean, it goes through 17 like that. Yeah. That's held up as support.
I like layups.
Dennis, so would your platform just not allow you to enter the order, or are you know?
Well, you can't legally enter the order without
a locate.
No. My professional platform would allow you to let. If I told it I had a locate from an external source, the order would go in, and I'd be going to jail.
Exactly.
So that's called naked shorting, and that's jail sentence. So I'm definitely not going to do that. But yeah, you know, obviously you've got to have a locate. You know that they you know. Changed everything with the naked shorting back in the financial crisis, 2007, 2008, really cracked down on it, and they're serious about it. So you've got to have a locate before shorting something. So you can go out to locate brokers. I did not call any locate brokers. There's one that I do have accessibility to. Did not. It was also at 4 o'clock, and I don't know how great they are after 4 o'clock. But regardless here, bottom line, did not get the locate, and obviously not happy. As I see the stock down 70 cents this morning.
Dennis, can I make one recommendation here? And it's kind of after the fact. If you were really wanting to get shorted and you had that much time, maybe you could have just went and picked up some weekly 17 puts. I know you don't like to do that, but they were going for, I don't know, they closed at 41. You know, you buy.
But I'm giving up 41 cents. I mean, it's a $17 stock. I'm already giving up a huge edge.
Okay,
there.
Well,
I hate
where do you think they open at? Where do you think?
I'm just. Not
where do you think
buyer.
It opens at?
I don't like buying them. I would sell options. I don't like buying
so
options.
You would rather not make
I'd
money.
Rather sell a call or something. But, you know, there's different ways. There's some pairs. To be honest with you, okay, yeah. If I had one trade idea, Joel, and this was my only trade idea, I could have explored it a little further.
Yep.
But you know me. right now I've got 20 trades on just from last night. So, you know, it's an idea that I only have some, it's at 4 o'clock. This is a busy time for me. So I have about 2 minutes to devote to this. So I see the setup there. If I can't easily find
the
location, I don't have time to just be calling around and figuring it all out. So, you know, or going and looking at the option markets and then trying to analyze a strategy. If I'm doing 1-2 trades a day, sure. But I'm doing 50 to 100 trades a day. I just don't have the time to do it.
And you haven't trained Spencer how to, like, do a locate or trade options yet? I mean, he could have helped you out on that.
The boy. You're talking my boy, not Spencer Israel. But, yeah, no, maybe I need an assistant. You know, maybe there's something there, too. But, you know, you're not going to get them all. It's not like I knew 100% it's going to go down today. It was a nice setup. So I can't get the locate. I'm like, okay, well, it's not easy enough to do. I've got to move on to other trades. But,
okay.
You know, I really, you know, I seriously looked at both platforms trying to find it, couldn't find it. And obviously, it's through there now. Disappointing not to be able to trade it through it. And let me know if anybody else is short Snap. I haven't seen anybody else. Somebody, Ace is talking that it was available earlier in the day on Interactive Brokers. It was not available, though, at 3:50 p.m.
All right. I want
to say that I am available, Dennis, for the right price. I am available if you need.
Could you imagine that?
And he will hunt down these shares.
If you need someone,
I can short Snap when it breaks through the next support level, which is nowhere to be found because it's a new all-time low for Snap.
Chili
opportunity miss. Traded 300,000 shares. Obviously, you know a lot of people were already short it. That's why I couldn't find shares.
I also want to note, don't forget that the lockup expiration, the first one, is the end of the month.
Ooh.
It's the 29th or 30th, I forget which day. But it's the end of the month, so it's coming up. So keep that in mind if you are trading Snap.
Chili Trader has it. He had it short overnight, Apex Clearing. So let us know where your target is on this one. 1626. Now, this sometimes you can look at your 15-minute chart and say, oh, maybe it's ready for a bounce here, but right now you're seeing no indication of that. Maybe use a whole number like 16 to see, but the only thing I'd say, Chili Trader, keep an eye on that pre-market low, and if you get an initial bounce off that, you know, maybe some shorts are coming in to cover. Easy to say where resistance is, right, Dennis? 17.
17. Yeah, oh, there'll be a brick wall up there now, I think.
Yep. So, okay, whatever.
But we know these things when they breach. You know, sometimes it continues for a while. I've hated the stock for a long time on evaluation just because I don't get it. I think it's a fad. I think there'll be something else that could come out, and I don't know how they monetize it. Even if it's not a fad, I'm not sure how Snapchat monetizes this. So that's why, from a valuation perspective, I think it's crazy that it was trading up, you know, at $28 at once.
$29.
But, you know, that being said, yep. Now it seems like, you know, valuations, and it seems like, you know, it's coming back down to earth, and valuations starting to matter on certain companies. And obviously, you know, this is breach 17, and I think, you know, if I was short the thing, I think I'd ride it for a bet.
All right. Before we moved on to stocks, and Dennis, you couldn't bring up a chart of this, but I'd like to get the room's opinion here on this GBTC. This is the ETF that tracks Bitcoin. Dennis, you couldn't bring up a chart on it, but...
I can't bring up a chart on it because it's OTC, and I don't pay for that data. And because I'm a professional, I have to subscribe to each individual data feed individually, and they just rate me, and that's why I don't like to subscribe to every feed, because if I was doing that, I'd spend thousands of dollars a month in data. So I've got to pick my poison there, and it's over-the-counter, and I can't... That the data on that's just too expensive.
All right. I want to just get everyone's opinion here. To me, this chart looks very ominous here. You could do a triangle if you wanted here, coming off that 230 low and hitting that 300 low and then coming back up. And then on the upside, boy, you can draw a perfect trend line off the September high, and then you've had 2 days of nearly identical ranges between 375 and 400. This thing is winding up here for a big move, and I don't know, break down through 375 or break out above 400. You know, to me, I'd be more comfortable, you know, breaking, you know, shorting it going through 375 than buying it above 400, because even above 400, you have a triple top above that. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens here in the ETF of Bitcoin.
I'd love to talk to you about it, but, you know, I can see the chart that you're showing on the pre-market show, but, you know, I'm technicals. And then I've told you before, from a valuation perspective, I don't know how you value this thing. So I don't know the tactic to even try to figure out how to value this thing. So that's why I've always been hands-off on Bitcoin. I don't totally get it.
All right, maybe we'll try and catch Jeff to see what he's thinking here, because he's Mr. Permeable on this. So we'll see if he's getting a little bit worried.
Yeah, Jeff would be good to bring on.
Yeah,
Spencer, give Jeff a call. Talk to him.
Yeah, I'm checking to see if he's busy working someone out. But okay, let's get on to the other news of the day.
Other stocks here in the news, and there is quite a few. We got to go to the Pepsi earnings first, though, because we have not talked PEP yet, and they did report earnings here this morning. And Spencer, how did Pepsi do?
First earnings report, I feel like, in a couple weeks. Q2 EPS $1.50 versus $1.40. Sales of $15.71 billion versus $15.61 billion. So beat on the top and a beat on the bottom. They see their fiscal year core EPS at $5.13. That is a miss by a penny. So all in all, good quarter.
Stock popped, but now it's starting to drop. And this is all on fairly light flying. I mean, we actually know. You know what? We trade 71,000 shares here. I don't know, but I don't really see like a ton of trades. I'm just trying to look if there was a big ball, like a big block that went through or something. Oh, well, I guess it's traded quite a bit. So we've popped, we dropped, and then we popped again, and now we're starting to drop a little bit again. So we just chop. I'll call the Pepsi earnings, the digestion here, a lot of chop.
All right. Throughout the high, 117. Throughout the low, 111.50. Look at your last price, 114.50. Go to the daily charts. You went off the board right there, 114.27. So I'd say giddy up and, you know, hold that 114 level. Or I could see us easily slicing through the 113 handle. And I see a low at 112.80 or 112.77 back on May 15th of this year. Coming back on the upside, you just want to see it stay green, you know, get above 114.30, 114.5, and rally. But, you know, Dennis, you got any feel for this stock?
I'm torn on this, obviously. You know, it's a stock that I trade a lot. I like to do the Pepsi Coke thing to a certain extent. These two stocks do follow each other. It's going to be thin, though. This is one that trades actually pretty thin off earnings. It had a big fall prior to the report here. I'm just going to see what it does right off the hop and kind of maybe go with the flow. So pre-market trading can chop around a lot. Let's see what it does at 9:30 when the real money comes in. And if they start to find buyers or starts to find sellers, or if it opens too high or too low, I might strike. But as of right now, I'm hands off because it still seems to be chopping around and digesting. So I don't see a clear trend here yet.
And I just want you to know, you avoided going down two lunches because
what?
Because I wanted to make a bet on something, and either I chickened out or you chickened out. Do you know where Fizz is right now?
Where's Fizz? I haven't looked at that for. Whoa! Fizzing, not fizzing out, fizzing up. Wow.
Yeah.
Breakout.
I think it was when it was at 90, I think we were going to go 80, 100 versus 80. And I don't know. I think it might have been right when it popped out. So maybe I would have taken some heat on it. But LaCroix, you know, maker of water. I don't know. This is a big trend with, you know, going away from the sodas.
Stock's
and stuff.
Hot.
Yeah. I mean, people are drinking flavored water here. 103.
What's the market cap of that thing?
Oh,
throw Spencer under the bus on this one. Spencer, go to the pro, hunt down the market cap. It's a race. Who can find it faster? Oh, no, I just actually misclicked, so you're going to beat me for sure. $4.93
billion.
Well, how much is it?
$4.93 billion.
It's a $5 billion company.
Not much.
$5 billion? I don't know. What do they sell? Like, is there some drinks like I see, you know, regular drinks I see in my everyday convenience store? Like, what's their brands like that?
LaCroix. Oh, man, what do they sell?
Oh, they sell Faygo.
Well, yeah, they own Faygo.
Oh, they're Faygo.
Yeah, that's like a Michigan thing, though. That does not count.
I've drank lots of Faygo Pop.
That does not count. I don't know what else they sell, honestly.
I like Faygo Pop. I actually like this all of a sudden.
What is this? Oh, national beverage. I'll look it up for it. Dennis, what are your convenience stores? Do you have to, like, are they all licensed there? Your convenience stores, or do you have, what's the name of them over there?
Well, we have the same one, 7-Eleven. We got 7-Elevens over here. 7-Eleven Day. It's Slurpee Day in Canada, I think. I'm not sure about that, actually. But it should be Slurpee Day in Canada if it's Slurpee Day in the U.S. We have 7-Elevens. We always had Max Milk. I don't think you have that one. We've got the Circle K's showing up in Canada now. We got convenience stores, Joel.
Everfresh, they have. Faygo. Just LaCroix, I think, is the big one. Ohana, then they have some, Shasta. They have some drinks that are high energy drinks, too. So, great-looking chart here. Now broke out over 100, 103.58.
Breakout. I'm not fighting it.
Nope, I'm not fighting it either.
That's a breakout, and these things can go for a while, so I'm not fighting that one. I think on pullbacks under 100, I think you find buyers here now.
I know what you're buying, Dennis, and you're putting your whole account into Macy's today.
Yeah, John Dodson asking my thoughts on Macy's as the dividend is now over 7%. I will tell you, my thoughts on Macy's, which I've said my thoughts for a long time, and I've said it, you know, I think for the last few months, I believe Macy's is going the way of JCPenney's and Sears. So bring up a chart of JCPenney, and this is where I think Macy's is eventually going here too. Not a fan. You know, JCPenney, what was the high in JCPenney? We're using JCPenney as the indicator here for Macy's. What was the all-time high, JCPenney?
I think
I'm 2012, it's over $40, but yeah. I thought I saw like higher than that before.
Yeah, let me see. I need to go way
out. Monthlies.
Way out.
JCPenney.
Oh, man. I might even have to go far. I think it was in the 80s.
I feel like it was, too.
Boy, oh, boy. Let's see how far my platform. Got to get more on this platform.
Go farther, Joel.
Well, I don't have the monthlies on this one. I think back.
Oh, I got to go up to my other platform then. Yeah. Hang on. Let's go and see what JCPenney all-time high we're looking for in JCPenney.
I'd say like 83.56. That's my guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to grab it right now. All data, as far back as I can go. I do see, and I have to eyeball this. And you're really close. I'm just eyeballing it because I can't actually click on this chart. It looks like about $85 back in 2007.
Yeah, and I actually got it up on my other.
Okay, so let's take Macy's.
87.18.
Macy's all-time high was around 72. It's 21 here now. I don't know. Why are they different? Okay, so I've been saying that, you know, Macy's might go the way of JCPenney. Somebody give me an argument why it's different than JCPenney here now. I mean, you've got the same thing. They're getting Amazon. They got big, huge stores that, you know, people obviously are buying a lot more stuff online. They haven't figured out the online stuff here. Why is Macy's different than JCPenney? If somebody can give me a good argument, maybe I'd become interested in the stock. But I haven't heard a good argument on why Macy's is different than JCPenney. And that's what I'm throwing it out there. Twitter, if you're following me, you can give me that argument too, or send me to a story. But, you know, I'll leave it out there for the next couple days. Give me a good argument why Macy's is different than JCPenney. If it's not, that's why, you know, and right now I'm sticking to the camp that it could be the next JCPenney, and that is why I am not buying it, even with this attractive 7% dividend.
You know, I always thought, like, growing up as a kid, you know, you watch, you know, Miracle on 34th Street and, you know, Macy's. You always thought of it as, like, the, you know, kind of like the higher-end, you know, New York department store, right? And, yeah. Now, I mean, it's, you know, in many malls across, maybe they just got too big. I don't know. I mean, ZZZ Stevens talking about it popped on valuable real estate holdings, man. But, man, I don't know how many of their stores they actually own. They're in these big malls.
Spencer. And how valuable is the real estate anymore? There's a second, you know, concern there, because on these malls, they don't even know what the hell to do with these malls. You know, some I heard, you know, some malls are turning into churches and stuff. I mean, if everything is starting to go online, the real estate can't be as valuable as it used to be, in my opinion. Am I wrong?
You're not. I mean, chart don't lie here, Dennis. I don't. You know, I mean, it's hard to say it's going to zero. I don't know where the true value.
Well, JCPenney's is not zero. JCPenney's is $4.48. So I'm just saying that there could be a lot more downside here for Macy's, even with this cheap 7% dividend. If they cut that dividend,
they will.
If they come out and say, look, you know, the dividend, we've got to pull it back for a bit, they're going to massacre it again. So I don't know. If you put a gun in my head, you got to buy, you know, between the Macy's, Kohl's, and Nordstrom. Right now it would be Nordstrom, because I think there's still that potential for the thing to go private. I don't mind the Kohl's. It's been getting killed here too. I like it better than the Macy's. I think the Kohl's is, you know, a little bit, they sell some cheaper stuff. It's, you know, they're on their own standalone stores for the most part. If I had to, I like the Kohl's better than the Macy's. I don't like any of them though. So I've in my investment portfolio, which I don't know how many stocks. I think I have 70 stocks in my investment portfolio. I don't know if I have one traditional retailer in there. I don't think I do.
Amazon.
Not even one. I don't own Amazon either, actually, because of the valuation. I don't think I really have any exposure to retail right now. I'll have to go look. And you know, it's funny when you own 70 stocks. I don't even know if I own a retailer, but I don't think I do. I don't think I have one retailer in there. And people say, oh, you're way underexposed to this. Thank goodness I've been underexposed to this, because my portfolio would be getting shellacked because of it. So I'm very happy. I had Kohl's in there for a long time. Sold Kohl's in the mid-40s. Was thankful to get out of it. It's 36 here now, dividend. There's just so many unknowns with the way the consumer is going here now. The teeny boppers finding deals everywhere. They know how to use online shopping. And Amazon's got to figure it out. It's scary to be a traditional retailer.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you on that one.
Jumping over to other news, I want to go back to upgrades and downgrades just for a minute here. Barclays, big call here on the home builders. They are downgrading Lennar. They are downgrading Pulte Homes, which is PHM. They are also downgrading Toll Brothers, which is TOL. Haven't looked at the charts on these for a while, so let's start with Lennar, which is LEN. Stock has actually been going straight up. The home builders have been doing very well over here. Heard there's going to be a housing crisis in Canada, but Lennar here, very close to 52-week highs.
And could that be an all-time high? Good. Let me look here. Really good day last 2 days, from 52 up to nearly 55. 54.60 went out on your high tick of the day. So got a lot of air down to 52. Let me look at this on a longer-term perspective. Boy, it's had a nice rally. Even since, I'd maybe be ringing the register in this one, because you started the year out at the $42 level. You sniffed this area back in the middle of 2015 when you hit 56.04, and then going back and back and back. That could be an all-time high. Yeah, cause this thing was down. Maybe I'll have to go back to the early 2000s. But, nope, that's not the all-time high. This all-time high day, it looks like in 2005, you were trading the 60 handle here, but we'll see. Is it bitter? Right, I don't see much action in this, Dennis. Has anybody traded this yet?
It's trained down a little bit here. So Lennar has only traded 1,500 shares, 54.30. Offered 54.25, best bids 53.70. So that puts it down about 0.75%. So, you know, and usually, you know, you get a downgrade, it's going to knock it down 1 or 2%, especially from Barclays, probably worth 1 or 2%. Look at Toll Brothers. Toll Brothers trained down 2.3% on this right now. Pulte Home, PHM, trained down 1.28%. So that's in the ballpark. I would think, you know, this thing's going to trade down between 1 and 2% today.
These home builders, are they active in the pre-market or not?
Not usually, and that's why it's hard to come in here and price and say, oh, well, it's only down 0.4%. Well, there's, you know, there's really no trades, only 1,500, some shares have traded. They don't have an active pre-market. I mean, for the most part in the pre-market, you've really got to look, you know, your Dow components are usually fairly active, but really it's limited to 50 or 100 stocks. And then you get some outside action, you get some odd ticks or some news stocks. But for the most part, your active stocks are always like a Bank of America, almost always still has a 1-cent market, even in the pre-market. it's very active there. You know, something like a Siri is always active in the pre-market, SIRI, and always fairly tight spread. AT&T and Verizon usually have fairly tight spreads in the pre-market. But for the most part, especially, you know, when you're still an hour before the open, there's not much of a market in anything except your major mega caps.
And your
new stocks.
Better levels to look at in Pulte, double top at the 25-20 area. See if that will be resistance once again, if it can get there. And then the big support on the downside, two lows at the 24.50 area. So if they really want to take this out, actually you got three lows at the 24.50 area. So good numbers to look at in Pulte. We did Lennar. Let's just look at KB Homes for our viewers at home. Once again, excellent, trying to exit this thing on strength. 24.37 was your high from yesterday. That was just above your high from last week. 24 bucks, we closed above that. 24.18, yesterday's low. I mean, this one doesn't seem to be as big a mover. Let's stop for continued downside. Is it traded through yesterday's low yet, Dennis, of 23.69? No. So not much action, still hanging up here near the highs.
Jumping over to a couple other stocks I had on my list. Well, actually, let's go with one more upgrade just before we leave. ExxonMobil's catching an upgrade here from Barclays this morning. Stock trading up slightly, 30 cents. I mean, why is it not up more? Well, USO is trading down, so that's going to weigh on a little bit here. But we haven't talked ExxonMobil. It's been hanging out near this big psychological $80 level for the last few days, trying to form some type of a bottom here, Joel, around 80. I mean, 3.83% dividend. Unlike Macy's, I believe the XOM dividend is safe. It's been hanging out here for quite a bit. I mean, if oil starts to break down, ExxonMobil's bound to break down again here. But really considering, you know, that oil's come down quite a bit, Exxon's held up okay. You know, you got some of the smaller oil companies that have really been killed. You look like at a rig in 2017. It's went from 16 to 8. I mean, in that same time period, ExxonMobil's went to 90 to 80. So you can see the difference when you get, you know, a company that's very stable and going to survive with $40 oil.
If you want to use a long-term support level, 80 bucks psychological level, haven't traded below that. I mean, you did that last month and this month. You were back under 80 in March of 2016, so a little bit over a year ago. So if you're looking at maybe a swing trade here, you want to take a shot at 80 and you're looking for, you know, a nice rebound, give yourself even below that low of 79.26, maybe risk a couple bucks and you could see some upside. Kind of torn on oil here. I mean, I saw, you know, the Barron's and a couple stories over the weekend going to 60 bucks by the end of the year. I just, from a technical perspective, I don't see that happening. And, you know, I'd see J.C. Peretz or somebody tweet that it's going to 20. You know, I don't see that happening.
20 sounds scary. If it goes to 20, you're going to see a lot of companies folding up shop. I mean, that is a scary thought. When we got down to 27 bucks, we were in a full-on crisis mode, and that was in the first quarter of 2016. So, you know, you start seeing oil fall below 40, it will start grabbing major headlines there again, and a lot of these little oil companies are going to be in a world of hurt. They're in a world of hurt right now. Where are we on oil? I always look at USO.
44. Call it 44.
Start breaking 40, it'll start getting major headlines again, and, you know, it could be a snowball from there. So it needs to hold up. You know, obviously, I've, you know, talked with Canadian dollar as being a trade oil currency. But who do we have on there a couple weeks ago was letting me know, you know, that they are talking about raising rates in Canada? Actually, they might raise tomorrow, which they haven't done in a long time. And that's why the Canadian dollar has actually showed strength despite oil's weakness.
Was that Ephraim that was talking?
No, it was the girl, the foreign currency. She was great.
Roggie Horner.
Yeah. Roggie.
There you go. And she did a great job explaining that. And, you know, and I was like, you know, I threw out the question. I'm like, why is the Canadian dollar so strong when oil is going down? And she's like, it's because they're talking about that quarter point. And it matters more. What matters the most? So there's a lot of things that affect the currency price. What affects it the most is interest rates, because people chase yield. So, you know, obviously, if you got interest rates that are climbing, money flows into those currencies. And if you got interest rates that are falling, money, you know, flows out of those currencies. And if, you know, Canadian dollar is, or if the Bank of Canada is going to start raising rates, which I don't think they can raise them far, because I think we'll have a falling housing crisis. But, and that's why I challenge this rally a little bit in the Canadian dollar. But if they do start raising rates and it starts going to a tightening, you know, bias there, we might see the Canadian dollar show some strength, which we're seeing.
Spencer, what's the symbol for the Canadian dollar on
CAD? No.
No, no, it's slash something.
It's not slash CAD. Hold on, let me find it.
No, that's it.
The one thing. That's a downside when you got currencies and options and, you know, preferred stocks. They all have different symbols on different platforms.
Yeah, that's okay. Well,
FXC, Wave Trader saying you have FXC.
6C. I was close. Oh, let's just take a look at that. I thought I tried that. I was trying to. Wow, what a rally there in that Canadian dollar.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, it's been hot.
Boy, oh boy, you gotta cash out.
I don't like
out.
It because I make U.S. money and I convert it to Canadian, so I like a weak Canadian dollar, so not happy about it.
Yeah, those loonies, man. Look at that. 0.8 here. It looks like big resistance if the rally can continue here in the Canadian dollar.
All right, I want to just give a quick imbalance look here because they just came out. See if I see anything jumping out. Gee, your typical 71,000 to sell. Seems like I said every morning is a sell bounce. Gee. Hey, Macy's, 85,000 to buy. Somebody's coming in and buying Macy's.
Covering a short.
On that. Imbalanced out a little bit this morning. Alibaba is a buy and balance every day. 29,000 to buy in Alibaba. I still like Baba. Bank of America, 51,000 to buy. Nike, 18,000 to sell. Kroger, 41,000 to sell. That's about it. They're very small here. Institutions don't like to show their hand an hour before the open.
All right. We were going to talk about Costco here, too. I know you did our retail rant. Boy, oh boy, 150, 28. Dennis is starting to get in buy zone area.
Yep, 145. Come to daddy. I'm still waiting for you, Costco. It's one retail. See, I got to put a retail in my portfolio. When Costco gets to 145, I'm sticking some shares in my investment portfolio. I think, you know, it's got some nice support down there. I don't think Costco is going away. And, you know, even this downgrade yesterday from BMO, and it was Kramer pointing this out, and I forget exactly what they said. I'm going to go try to – do you have the BMO note from yesterday? We're throwing you really under the bus here, Spencer, because trying to get a note from yesterday. But it was something about to the nature, you know, we think, you know, they downgraded the stock, and they said, you know, it's nothing to do with basically the way the company's performing. It's performing very well, and basically it's everything to do with this Amazon Whole Foods. But I think it's priced in it. I mean, we have hit Costco pretty hard. 180 down to 150, you know, gets in the mid 140s. I think there's some value here in Costco.
All right. The analyst said Costco posts a significant price gap versus Amazon. Doesn't matter as sentiment and fear take precedent over Costco's business, regardless if this is justified or not.
Late to the party. No?
I'm not.
Where were you 2 weeks ago when sentiment and fear really took over and the stock went from 180 to 170 to 160 to 150? Now you're giving this to me at 154? Late to the party, BMO. Not picking on Canada, but come on, late.
All right. I mean, they're just saying that. I mean, they're basically going on the hype here that hypersensitivity and an Amazon fear dominated market. That the company's gross margin pressure will merely add additional pressure to the stock. So they're talking mumbo jumbo there. Like I said, you know, you could have done it at 180. Now you're doing it here. The other thing I like about you.
They could have did a 180 because nobody knew. But they could have did the next day at 170. And they'd be a lot better off than downgrading at 154. It takes them 2.5 weeks to realize that, hey, Amazon might put some pressure on Costco margins. Come on. Give me something I can use. That's late to the party.
Dennis said at 145, that will fill a gap, too, that it had back from early December here. So 834, are we going to bring it? I know Nick's listening. I know the guy has absolutely nothing better to do than listen.
I got to get Nick's thoughts here on this Costco BMO downgrade.
He'll
here
give you a risk-free trade.
We know Nick loves the analysts.
He's going to give you a risk-free trade that you can make thousands of dollars on. That's how Nick does it.
Is he there? Is he hiding in the background? Nick Shaheen, are you there?
I'm here. My desktop crashed on me, so if you want to hang up and call me in 10 seconds, I can relaunch that stinking thing, Skype.
Okay.
Let's give him his desktop back. So we'll hang up with Nick. We'll give you 10 seconds of, well, should we give him dead air time, crickets? What do you want to give him for 10 seconds here, Joel?
If I could do crickets, if I had the sound effect, I would.
if Downward Dog's not in here, we can play our music.
But we can't do that in 10 seconds.
Talk what stock?
Dry ships, but we can't do that in 10 seconds. So, all right, let's give Nick a call back here. See if we.
All right, all right.
He's back. We had crickets.
I'm here.
We are on the line with Nick Sheehan.
Sorry, Joel. We were just talking Costco.
Yeah, yeah. I was itching to jump in there. I was like, whoa, I wanted to be in there. Okay.
The BMO analyst downgrades it now, saying, you know, basically they're getting Amazon. Where were they 3 weeks ago when this news came out at 170 is what I'm saying. This sounds late to the party to me, no?
Well, yes, but technically it does have carried a momentum lower. So it broke trend. I just posted a chart. I like the company. I like shopping there. I did start seeing discount racks about 6 or 8 months ago, which I've never seen before. And those usually end in a round number. All their prices are not round numbers. But if you see it like 0.00, that means it's been discounted. I never saw that before. So I don't know if they were trying to change their makeup with their ticket. Also, I'm seeing a lot of bigger ticket items that they're pushing, like more refrigerators and things like that. So they may be actually fighting the Amazon effect. So that's good news. But I heard you say something. You said you're waiting for 145.
I like it, the 140 to 145 area. What are your thoughts there?
Okay, so you can do several things. You can sell the July put at 145 and collect 4 cents and make that in a couple of weeks. You can sell the August put at 145 and collect $2. So if you want to own it at 145, why not collect $2?
Maybe I should go way out. Maybe I should go like a leap in this thing.
Well, if you go on a leap, you can collect a lot of money. It depends where you want to be. You can get almost $6 at 145. So your break-even point is 139. But not only that, you can, if you really want to be bullish, you sell that and you buy calls. If you think there's going to be a rebound, then you're long for free.
Use that. Yeah, long for free. I get you, and obviously.
Which is the opposite of Snap. In Snap, you could have sold calls to buy puts, which I don't do, because then you're hooked on, you're short the stock pretty much if it rallies through your call, and then you're losing money. Yeah. So
Snap's pretty wild, too.
Yeah, it is pretty wild in a wild name like that. So I would not do that. I did catch the Snap falling the first time it fell, because my theory then was those who missed out on the IPO the first time, they're going to get in. And they did. So I sold the 16 put and bought calls. And then when it spiked, I closed out of everything. When it fell back the second time, they asked me, are you going to do the same thing? He's like, no way. I played Russian roulette and it clicked. I'm not clicking again. So yeah, Costco, I like it. I'm looking to sell puts in it. I'm not in it yet. And you also talked about Exxon. I sold puts in Exxon when it dipped. So they said it's going to 20, so I guess I'll be the one holding it.
Because oil going to 20.
Oh, oil. Okay, yeah. I don't think so. I mean, it's possible, but if oil goes to 20, we have bigger problems, like you said.
Oh, we got major problems if oil goes down to 20. You're going to start seeing. Yeah. We'll be full on. Go to look. You know, if you want to know what happens when oil goes to 20, go look at your chart from the first quarter of 2016, and you see, because the market got the beats, and that was all because oil fell under 30.
Yeah, I remember that, and we all had a tizzy, but you know what? When we see a problem and it happens again, the headline is not as inflammatory. So, you know, you see the headline, whatever it is, X, and the market reacts in a fashion, and the next time you see that same headline, it loses fizz. Pun intended, you guys were talking about fizz.
Do you do options on anything like that on fizz?
No, it's one of those THCH, too high to chase it and too hot to short it for sure. So I have somebody in my chat room every day who is like obsessed with it 3-4 times a day. Look at fizz. It's like, okay, I got it. Fizz is hot.
It's kind of the opposite of you. You don't look for the, you know, the hottest stock in the world. You like boring, right, Nick?
I do like boring, because when you sell options on boring things, you tend to not worry about it. Like I sold puts in Exxon, for example. Yes, it was falling, and I just don't worry about it because there's value there. As opposed to you sell puts on something that you're not sure of the value, then you start worrying, uh-oh. Case in point, I sold puts in Twilio before their earnings last time when they fell like 30%. Luckily, I had bought – it was longer dated put, but then I had bought like that week's put to like cover the disaster scenario, and boy, I'm lucky I did, because I ended up making money on the thing, because had I not had the protection, I would have been biting my nails. So yeah, when you sell puts in something, or when you own something and it's falling, but that something has value, then you're less worried, because you have a thesis and you're trading your thesis. If your thesis doesn't change, then you should still stick with your trade.
Can you teach me how to make money when I'm wrong, Nick? I mean, that would be absolutely incredible. I would be just a millionaire. Well, but no, go ahead. I mean, you did it to limit your risk, is the reason that you did that, right?
Absolutely. I want to cover the disaster scenario, and it cost me 5 cents to do it. And the puts were $2, I think it was, the next day they opened, and from 5 cents. Had I not done that, I would have been a world of hurt. That would have been all losses. But I did sell a longer day to put, but I said, you know what? What if the disaster scenario happens? I'm going to spend five cents to cover my disaster scenario. I did it. I would have paid 20 cents. So, and the next morning, I wake up to, you know, minus 25 or 28% dip in Twilio. And luckily, I had those puts, sold them. I said, please assign me so I can flip it right now. But they didn't. So, but now it bounced to 30 from whatever it was. So I'm good.
All right, Nick, we got to go over all market thoughts here. And, you know, we had the breakdown before the jobs number. Everything's okay in jobs land. We pop up yesterday, and it really looked like we were going to bust through that 2430 and just go right back up to the all-time highs. I'm looking at 2427 area. We did trade through that a little bit yesterday. That's the 50% retracement here, the move from 2451.50 down to 2402 and a quarter. And it seems like it's holding this time. So give us your scenarios here, both short-term and long-term, in the overall market.
I think we're stuck in, not I think, we are stuck in an incredible range. I mean, you guys have been watching the markets for a long time, and this doesn't usually happen, you know, being so, you know, so flat. And I think we're just waiting for the headline that changes the short-term gain, the game, because otherwise we're going to keep repeating the same thing. So technically, I'm just selling iron condors wherever I can. Selling the when they dip, I sell credit put spreads. I match them up with credit call spreads. I end up with either actual iron condors or staggered iron condors. Like I had some expiring on 7.5 and 7.7 and 7 the week thereafter. But I think what I'm watching is on 6.19, the bulls were looking like, okay, we're going to 2460 and above. And they put a base on the 32-33 area on the ES 24-33-32, but then the next day they gave it up for the next 2 days. So that's my real line in the sand to see if the bulls want to mount another rally. So yes, I think you mentioned 24-31 earlier yesterday, I should say, and I said, okay, yeah, that will lead me to the area I'm looking at, which is 24.33 to 35 is really the hard line in the sand, harder line in the sand that would get me more excited on the long side and see if the bulls would want to actually use it as a platform base. Until then, we are precariously perched. We're in the hands of the politicians. We have Amazon Day. I'm sure the numbers are going to start creeping out tonight or tomorrow as to how big of a day. What kind of an impact? I don't know. Is it going to hurt retail? Is it going to excite everybody that retail sales are going to be up? I'm not sure. So there's a whole bunch of big pieces just waiting for some news, and one of them is going to take us one way or another.
We just popped pretty, big time here on the Amazon day. Opened yesterday 985, went up to 999. I mean, we were talking yesterday and joking on the show, there's a play here just to buy this thing every time, you know, you have the Amazon Prime day. I'm not saying hold it till numbers come out, but holding it in speculation the numbers are going to be good. But we popped 2-3, you know, days in a row here on Amazon. Do you think a lot of this could be priced in from Amazon Prime day? Like, I think they need to blow it away if it's going to go higher.
Okay, so I think you're asking me, is it too late to get long rather than shorting Amazon,
yeah,
right?
kind of in a roundabout way.
Yeah, I would not short it, but it's not an obvious entry point for me. It may pop, but it has popped three strong candles in a row, at least two of them for sure. So I don't chase prices that way. Again, if I want to generate income from that guy, I would sell credit put spreads in it. It will hold up as long as markets hold up, but if markets fall, this one gets a haircut pretty quickly. It's a momentum stock, and like Priceline, like all the other ones, will run fast in the direction where the markets are running, and faster, much faster than the market itself. So look out for candles. The one candle that worries me and will probably be the bogey is on 6.9. Obviously, there was some sort of a flash crash in it, but it gives you the actual range, because if people act on impulse the day they're scared, then it just gives you something to shoot against, the top and bottom. So, and another candle on 6.19 tells me, okay, where they want to go. So this is your range, and how far up the range you want to start. It's towards the upper end of it rather than the. So I don't know what they expect from that Amazon Prime Day.
I've got to get your thoughts on Tesla here. This is a stock that I'm torn on. Long term, I still, you know, valuation is an issue for me. But short term here, it's starting to show some life. It tried to get down there to 300 yesterday. It bounced. And I know it took out the previous day lows, but it did something yesterday intraday, which I like to see too, is a V bottom, where it actually, and just looking at the intraday chart from yesterday, where it washed everybody out in the first opening half an hour, where it went from 315 down to 303, and then it went straight up and recouped all those losses in the next half an hour. And then it kind of hung out all day. So I feel like it kind of washed some people out there. And I feel like, you know, it's down 3 points here in, you know, in the pre-market, but I feel like you got to trade up a bottom here as long as the stock's above 300.
Yep. It had some pretty terrible news with the downgrade and a low, low price target.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of damage on volume. If you look at the volume, those last four candles, they're pretty hefty. So your thesis is holds water because the last one, the bounce, the strong performance you're talking about came on a high volume day. So it does hold water. Plus now it's in the clutches of a consolidation zone that it spent between in April and May, towards the end of May before it spiked higher, which is between 294-ish and 310-ish right now. So it will provide it's easy fast profits. Apple spot, you know, you hit the sell, easy come, easy go. But then you hit the consolidation zone where people actually traded and thought about getting long it, and they've been comfortable in that zone before. They're not as quickly as quick to hit the sell button from here. They will need another catalyst. So it does provide a short-term entry point to at least test to see how it performs. So yeah, I would be, if I was to trade Tesla right now, technically speaking, not fundamentally speaking, I would be on the long side rather than the short side.
All right, Nick, out of the chat here, HDS, HD Sly Holdings, coming from down War Dog. I don't know. He's trying to pick a bottom in here. Took out the low of the move, 29.81. Kind of had a nice close at 30.49. Big support at 30. This was back in September after a gap down here. Nick, any thoughts on HDS?
Well, I don't know the company, but it's even though in a range, it's looking like a good entry point. It would scare me because this area looks like it's knocking on a neckline, almost like a head and shoulders, even though it's not perfectly one. So what happens if it loses that neckline? It has lost it before on a spike down, but that was in 2016, February or so, where the whole market was, that was the low of the market. So if that was an overshoot, then this is not too bad of an entry point test, at least. So if you know the company, if I know the fundamentals, I'd be willing to grab a little bit, maybe half order to see how it performs the next few days. I don't like to catch falling knives like that unless I really know them fundamentally. Like Snap is a scary knife to catch because I don't believe in the company. So if I believe in this company, then I might want to dabble in maybe some credit put spread, maybe some cheap debit call spreads perhaps, or both.
Yeah, this 30 that it took out yesterday by a hair, that's been some long-term support here. I have this on the weekly chart. This is going back to March of last year. Nick, before we let you go here, I just want to get your setups here in the financials. We could go XLF. Look at Bank America here in a 25. I mean, it had the follow-through after the jobs number. Not too far away from that recent high, 25.80 here. What are you looking your chops here in the Bank of America for another breakout, or do you think the rally's pausing?
I'm already long it. I sold puts in it. I think I told you on this show before, but they're like pennies now, probably like 10 cents left on the meat, on the bone. The financials should go higher. They will provide a base for the markets because they told us they're going to buy their own stocks and pay dividends. So they're going to be financial engineering their stocks higher, or at least here. So if I were to bet on the financials starting this Friday, I would be willing to bet long. It's hard to pick winners and losers, so the XLF would be a big blanket bet on all of them. There might be a plus or minus 3% move in that based on what happens starting Friday. And the way I would play the financials is, here's the thing. You play options for the earnings, right? And as soon as the earnings happen, the option premiums disappear. So play the ones that are out. So if JP Morgan reports before Bank of America and you want to play JP Morgan stock earnings, I would do it via Bank of America earnings because they're going to move in unison. If JP Morgan gets hammered, Bank of America is going to get hammered, but the premiums in Bank of America will still be better off because they still have the volatility coming. So that's how I would usually play those.
Real quick, Twilio and CF here. I see CF and Potash made a move yesterday. Give us, don't have to do charge for us. Just give us your quick thoughts on Twilio and CF.
Twilio, I was long it. I'm going to be out of it for a nice profit. I saw a trigger at 26.70 also, and I posted it actually on Twitter, and I said this one's going higher, and it did. It's at my target. I can be out of it. CF, I haven't traded in a long time. Technically frisky here on the daily because of that last candle. It puts it above a neckline that has been roof, which is 29.30-ish. So what it does around 30 is important because back in on 4.11, it lost that level decisively, and what it does at it and from it is important.
Also, just that Twilio, this happens to be $30, look like a major level too. We've come up, we hit that 6, 7 days in a row, so keep an eye on that. We've been on the line with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Joins us every Tuesday to try and modify our risk here in these markets, and you do a good job. Thanks a lot, Nick. We'll talk to you again next week.
Glad to be here. Can't wait.
All right, it is 8:52 here, Dennis. We are going to call Jeff Goldman here in 3 minutes, and I got to get his thoughts here because he is the perma bull in Bitcoin. So we'll see what he thinks of this technical formation. So let's cover a few more stocks. I don't know if imbalances have changed at all, but take it away, Dennis.
GE, 205,000 to sell now. I mean, let's just talk GE for a second. When's this thing going to catch a bid? This thing's been going straight down, 3.69%. Deutsche Bank had it right. We made fun of them a lot there. They haven't cut the dividend, but, I mean, they've had the direction of the stock chart right anyways. I own this in my investment portfolio. Obviously not happy that it continues to drift down. I've had GE in my investment portfolio for 15 years. I'm sticking with it, but $26 here now this morning, Joel. What are your thoughts technically?
I mean, do you remember when they did the special dividend? Was it the – I can't remember. Was it the $5 dividend?
A while ago.
Yeah.
They didn't do a special dividend. They did a buyback.
Okay.
And I was saying they should have did a special dividend instead of a buyback because the buyback tacked on like a dollar for $5 worth of what – they could have did a $5 special dividend instead of that whatever buyback they did. So I do believe that, you know, investors like the buyback or like the special dividends better than the buybacks, and they reward the stock and the shareholders more doing a special dividend than the buybacks. So that was my argument, and they obviously didn't do that, but I don't know. I would have liked a $5 special dividend is all I'm saying.
$25.49. You need to get $25.49 to fill the gap from October. The first week of October in 2015, so you've been holding out for that gap fill. Looks like you might get it here pretty soon. It goes off the board at 26.04, so let's see. I mean, it will put in a bunch of lows in the same area before it starts to go up. Perhaps it's the 26 level, or maybe it'd be nice to get down to fill that gap at 25.5.
Downward Dog wants your thoughts on DBC, Joel. I'll let you technically take this PowerShares commodity index tracking.
Oh, looks quiet.
I don't follow this one at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I could just give you a quick technical take here. And boom, boom, you had a move. 13, you basically had a buck move. So holding in right to 50% retracement here, 1410, 1420. Little gap to fill. So if this move's good for real, I don't think you're going to get back under 14 and 1420 and fill that gap. But a nice setup on the 50% retracement. Spencer, you want to give Jeff a call and see if we can get him in here on.
Can we bring him on live?
Yeah, bring him on live.
Okay.
All right.
You're bringing Jeff on.
At 8:55 here, little special guest here, Jeff Goldman.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. I'm dying to get his he likes to talk price action. He doesn't like to talk about the fundamentals.
Hello.
Good morning, Jeff. You're live on Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. How you doing this morning?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, we got to talk Bitcoin here. I don't have
We do.
What is going on, Mr. Bull? We got a you can call it a triangle, you can call it a pennant, you can call it a wedge, but man oh man, this thing is winding up, Jeff. So my theory is you're running out of buyers and this thing's going to crash. Your theory is they're running out of sellers. Tell us what price action you've been seeing in Bitcoin and what your net target is on the upside.
So if you recall last time I was on the show, I told you I was selling a little bit. So as much as I was a bull, I did take a little bit of profit. So just give me a little bit of kudos for that. I feel like the real action here is actually in the Ethereum. And that's sort of dragging the rest of the cryptocurrencies down. So if you really think about it, the Bitcoin's sort of hanging in there. You know, it touched 3,000. It's sort of bounced around between like 24 and 2,700. But the Ethereum is down from a high of over 400, and at one point last night, hit one around 180. So that's really where the action's at. And that is, and I don't know if any of your previous guests have talked about these tokens or these initial coin offerings. Has that come up at all?
No. Nope. Explain that to us real quick.
So, yeah, I'll do it real quick. There's been hundreds of millions of dollars raised, actually billions probably, in these tokens, which are priced and purchased with Ethereum. And, for example, there was one called Basic Attention that came out probably about a month ago. They sold $30 million of them in 26 seconds. Literally 26 seconds, it sold out. And immediately went from 3 cents, which is where the token came out, and it ran all the way up to 44 cents. Now, when people want to sell these tokens, whether it's the token issuer, because sometimes they'll just issue anywhere between, I don't know, 10% or 60%, and the issuers will actually hold these. This is so unregulated, so nobody even really knows some of these things. And then when they want to sell these tokens, they have to convert them to Ethereum, and then they sell the Ethereum. So in my opinion, this big sell-off in Ethereum is based on a lot of these issuers selling their tokens. And that's what's killing the Ethereum and just bringing everything else down. And then really, the Bitcoin is not, it's at 2,400. It's really not down all that much from its high. And it's actually holding in there. But again, the Ethereum is where a lot of this action and a lot of the sell-off is.
So you're buying some of the Ethereum and selling the Bitcoin? Is the current spread that you have on?
No, but there is. That is an actual spread that people do follow. Right now, I'm just sort of on the sidelines waiting. I think maybe there's going to be one more move down in the Ethereum. And it's at 213. You know, keep in mind, it was just at, you know, in December, it was at 8. So as much as it's down 50% from its high, there's still a lot of profits out there. And then these tokens, for example, the Basic Attention one that I was talking about, you know, that's back down to 10 cents. And you'd be like, well, you know, it's at 10 cents. It's actually at maybe 8.5 cents now, which seems like a great purchase considering it was at 44 at one point. But there's still a lot of people out there that have a triple in it that wouldn't mind taking some money off the table. The other big, big popular one is Ripple. And again, that one was got as high again as about 40 cents. It's now at 19 cents, again, down 50%. But, you know, 6 months ago, it was at a penny. So there's still, there's 100 billion of them? Yeah, there's 100 billion of them. So, I'm sorry, there's 1 billion of them, of the Ripple.
There's all these different, you know, cryptocurrencies here. What's the difference between all these things? Like, okay, go to the two big ones, Ethereum and Bitcoin. Like, is there a fundamental difference between these? Like, why is one better than the other?
Well, I don't know if one's better than the other. They all do, and you're going to make me, and I'm more of the price action guy.
Right, right. You're technical. So I'm throwing you under the bus asking about the fundamentals.
He says that every time he comes on.
But you know more than I do. Your fundamental knowledge of this is more than mine. So give me what you got.
The Ethereum is all about the smart contracts where you can have two parties agree on something and it gets locked when conditions are met and it gets written to the blockchain. And it's never changed, and it's written, and it's sealed, and that's where it's done. It can never be changed. Okay. The Bitcoin, as of now, there's not that smart contract aspect of it. So that's why all these cryptocurrencies, and if I'm, again, I think I referred to this CoinMarketCap website, there's 812 of these currencies.
Wow.
Most of them, 99% of them, are all based on the Ethereum smart contracts and of companies issuing tokens. And it's so easy to issue these tokens. It's off-the-shelf software, open source software. I mean, you guys can do the pre-market coin if you really wanted to.
Let's do that. And, how do we do that?
If you could you could do it. You laugh, but you could do it with not much knowledge, and
we could be rich.
In all honesty, I feel like that's a lot of the selling now. A lot of all these cryptocurrencies or these tokens, they all have projects behind them. Like this basic attention one I was talking about is actually a web browser that was founded by the guy that started Mozilla and Firefox. So it's actually a real project, but the tokens really don't do much except raise money for the project. So now you have all these, and it's unregulated, so these people literally could raise this money and then just go and sell their tokens. And I feel like that's a little bit of what's happening now across the board.
Jeff Goldman, the king of cryptocurrencies, staying bullish Bitcoin here. We're going to have to keep an eye on this one because it's a great technical setup. Jeff, I'll see you later on in the day. We really enjoyed
it. Let's just say I've downgraded to neutral to bullish just on just based on price action.
Michelle,
I'd get more bullish. I'd get bullish at 3,000.
Okay. All right. Michelle,
That's how I always trade. I get more bullish. I'd only be buying if maybe we take out previous highs.
All right, Jeff. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again.
No problem.
All right. We went a little bit over there. 9:03. We're going to stay on a few minutes longer today, do a little bit of taking a look at some charts. But Dennis, before we let you go here, any final thoughts at 9:03?
It's a tricky day. You know, when we're down to up to, you're going to have a few sectors get a little bit of money, a few sectors, money moves around. But, there's not clear direction here today. I mean, sometimes you look at the internals, I'll even look over to the TLT. There's really no movement there. It's down 14 cents. Silver's moved up, from the lows a little bit, but still down. You've got gold trading slightly down. You've got oil trading slightly down. I mean, it's kind of a quiet day, really. Looking at individual imbalances, which I like to look at sometimes, I do see Macy's with 143,000 shares to buy. It's interesting because Macy's got the beats yesterday. I did notice Macy's trying to catch a bid last night after hours. Now I see a big buy imbalance comes in. Makes me think that maybe Macy's, every dog has its day. Macy's has been an eternal dog. Maybe today is going to be the day, but, we know these things, every time they rally a little bit, they seem to just find new sellers again.
All right, Spencer, before we stay on a few minutes longer, you want to wrap up today's show and preview? Let's do it at the end.
Why don't we stay on? We're going to stay on until 9:15 today. Joel's going to do some technical analysis arts, if you have them in the chat. So, Joel, let's just get started. Where should we start?
Well, Larry is helping us out right away with Exalta Coding. Oh, boy, I know absolutely nothing about this one or ever seen a trade, but Larry, $32 just sticks out like a sore thumb to me. Several, you had the spike low to the 31.50 handle, then several lows under 32. So just sitting there, similar to what it did at 31, it had the move up from 31 to 34, pulled back to that area, but really strong, strong base building here at 32. Gets above 33, you got a nice gap to fill. So that one's kind of easy to look at. And then AER long term, I have to take a look at this. I don't know if there's any news. I should always look at the pre-market chart first here to see if I'm getting sidetracked. No, 47.55, that's the last trade in it. I mean, this thing clearing that old double top here. You had two highs at the 47.30 area. You cleared that, and now it looks kind of wide open to 49.66. But when you come off a level that hard, you know, you're probably going to maybe see the sellers at whole numbers and half numbers. But definitely a strong market in it yesterday. What was the close here? The close was 47.49. So you just want to see it get back to that area, clear 47.50. Also look for a seller in the book. NVCR coming from Novocure. And let's see, got to check the pre-market chart to see if I'm missing anything here. Nope, just hanging in here, knocking on the door of a breakout. Several highs here. 1840 has been the high of the move, but you know what? It's not really backing off that 840 level. Got under 18 on a few sessions. Actually, your last two lows are right there, 1775 and 80. So I think you got a lot of support under 17. You just want to see it clear this 1840 level. And then going a little bit farther out, the second time, you had a high at 1872, and that was back in March of 2016. So not a quick mover. You just want to keep it just staying above $18. Going to a big stock here, and actually I haven't looked at Cisco much after its earnings debacle. Now, I know when Nick was actually on the exact day of the earnings, he sold some puts in it when they, you know, this was a, I don't know how many standard deviation move here from 34 down to 30.5. You made your low of the day on that, rallied up, 32.50 failed, and you've already given back more than 50% of the move here. The only thing on the bright side is you've had two higher lows 2 days in a row, kind of matching tops there. So if you're looking for more upside, let me give you that triple top to clear here in Cisco. And well, not a perfect triple top, but above 31, let's call 31 your major level, close right there, 31.95. your last three highs from 31.02 to 31.09, so it looks like it's trying to round here and turn back up here. Let's see, the charts are for stocks are flying in here. Let's go with LB. And Spencer, if there's any news on any of these, could you let me know, because I'm trying
to I'll hop in.
I was trying to look at the pre-market charts and determine if there's any trading action here. If you're trying to catch a falling knife, this is where you want to be. Gap down, horrible day. 3 days after, it looks like people trying to get out of here. $44 held yesterday, 44.15 low. I tell you, if you want to hold out for 43.04, that was the low of the move. Or if you're trying to buy, if you think that low is actually going to hold, you can buy here, but you absolutely have to under $43. And going back here, if that gets taken out, 41.52 back was your low back in April of 2013. But I mean, whether it's Nick or, you know, there's other guests that we have on the show, they're like, why do you want to put your money in a that's looking something like this when, you know, there's a lot of other issues out there? Let's take a look. ICPT, that stock, I remember when it had its day, it ran to, Spencer, this was long before you were around here. That thing had like a 3-4 day run from like 50 to 500, and it's been stuck ever since. Looks like you got some buyers here at the 120 level.
Is there movement this morning? Because they did get initiated at Jeffries with a buy and a $275 price target.
All right. So now you have a bunch of odd lots traded in here. Let me see if I can even get the total volume here. What's traded in this issue? ICPT. I think it was a kidney drug. 300 shares have got it up $4.90. So let me take a look at the dailies here to see if we can find any kind of levels. Not much. I mean, I do see one high above 125.93 where it's currently trading. So I will give you the high from yesterday. That was in the 126 handle, 126.83, and then it opens up to 133.73. But this one, if you're looking for long-term, long-term support at the 120 area, tested that a few days ago. Where it's going on a pop, kind of hard to determine. RCA is asking about AGEN, so let me pull that up to take a look at the chart, and Spencer's going to let me know if there's any news on it. Genis Inc., nice day yesterday, so already had your move. 448 was the high from yesterday. Let's take a look at the charts, and you can see 450 gave it a little bit of a problem. When was this? Going back farther on the dailies, you stalled right at 455. That was back on February 20th. Man, another high is at 460, 470. I mean, it has some momentum going. Closed near the highs. So I'll keep an eye on that closing price. Had a long consolidation after its move from 340 to 4. Now it's resuming, so you just got to see whether it's going to have a little bit of a concession or just continue this move higher. One nice target for this slower moving stock, 478. That was your February 14th high. And Wave Trader is saying up in the pre-market here. I have it up trading about a penny. So let's see, follow through from yesterday. Dennis wants to know about, we'll go to Dennis here, and he's asking about AT&T and Verizon and those things. Higher interest rates, Dennis, people are exiting this thing. Maybe hold out for $36. Let me see if they're getting whooped here in the pre-market. No, hanging in here, looking at AT&T, I think dividend payers are eventually going to step in here. 36.10 was your low back in November, so maybe hold out for that lower 36 handle. And I'll look at this thing at 36. Verizon. Now, Verizon's taken out even its lows from October. Potential double bottom here in Verizon near a whole number. VZ, your last two lows were 43.21, 43.18. Kind of hanging in there in the pre-market. So double bottom to lean on. That's not much. Up is at the 43.55 level. So maybe wait for the volume to dry up. Maybe the seller's getting a little bit tired. But not good-looking charts at all. Down War Dog, Splunk. Have not talked about that issue in a while. SPLK. Real good support at 50. This could be a pre-market mover. Let me take a look. Nope, not a lot going on in the pre-market. I like the support at 56. You can see a trio of lows there. Now to clear 58. Went off the board at 57.62. Looks pretty open between 58 and 59. Yesterday's high just above 58. So see if you got a large seller there. Maybe not in the book, but just kind of a sneaky seller. Yesterday's high, 58.14. Closed at 57.62. So it looks, we'll do one more here. AAOI. Is that a pharma stock? Go
look. Sounds like it.
Applied Opto Electronics.
It sounds like just your typical biotech stock to me. They all sound the same.
Pharma. Let's take a look at this one. Not much action in the pre-market, but nice move yesterday. Actually, he's on a 3-day run. A little bit tighter of a range here. Big range from yesterday, 65 to 68.64. I mean, basis the daily charts, I don't see much of this thing until you get well into the 70 handle. Now, I don't know if that's if you're not going to see some sellers ahead of that, but AAOI, Yesterday's high was just under Centhouse 5. So it looks open on the dailies. It's just already had a three-day run. And I just want to address one question up here, and I'm not sure if it was from Michelle Kay or somebody, but they are asking about call sweeps, and that's something that you see on Benzinga Pro. And that's basically, I'll just give you the example, you know, 153, if someone wants to come in and take out all the books and the 154 calls, they'll just sweep all the exchanges that are offering the 154 calls at one price. And it's not any different strike price. That means that someone's just basically coming in and taking out the book. All right, 9:15, we got to cover a few more stocks there. Why don't you wrap up today's show and preview Wednesday's show?
Yeah, tomorrow we're going to hear from Rachel Shasha and Murad Askar, better known as Futures Trader 71. So if that handle sounds familiar, or that website sounds familiar, Futures Trader 71, he'll be on the show tomorrow, as well as Rachel Shasha. She is a trader as well. So she's a trader and blogger at Sassy Options. So looking forward to having Rachel and Murad on the show tomorrow. As far as today's show, catch the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And you can catch the whole show again as at aim.com/BenzingaTV, which is our YouTube channel. So that's it for us. Have a good rest of your day. Good luck out there. And we'll see you guys on Wednesday.